Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the 2023 Bald Move Awards, a.k.a. the Baldies, a.k.a. the most prestigious award show in TV and film. Emmys? Never heard of them. Oscars? The fuck is that?
Who's he?
Some guy lives in a garbage can on Sesame Street? Nah, these are the Baldies. They covered the only thing that mattered, the official award show for Bald Move. Jim, what are we doing here? What sets the Bald Move Awards, the Baldies? What sets the Baldies apart from other fraudulent award shows?
Aside from their greatness?
Yes, that's manifest. Oh.
Okay. Well, it's mostly focused on us, which I think is what it lends itself such greatness. It's focused on the things that we've seen, the things that we've covered all year. That's primarily it. It involves no celebrities except for ourselves, so the stars can really shine bright.
I'm sorry. There's tons of celebrities in here. We have all-star producer Talitha. We have
never heard of her.
Jim Jones, host of the Bald Move podcast network. I mean, that's just the two that I see. I mean, how much more star power do you want?
None. That it would just interfere. I mean, look, when you look up at the night sky, you don't want to see the moon up there as its big, stupid star just blocking everything out. You want to see the real stars, and that's why you're here.
Not those fake lunar stars.
Yeah.
So, yes, to win a Baldy Award, it had to be discussed on Bald Move. That's number one. It also had to premiere, and I think, yeah, premiere between January 1st and December 31st, 2023. So if you're wondering,
this is another thing we do right compared to all those other inferior award shows. They go just willy-nilly. It's like October 15th. I don't know. October 27th.
Eligibility period. Nah, it's the calendar year is our eligibility period.
Right.
So we got a lot of interesting awards, a lot of recognitions to give out. If you're wondering why we didn't talk about a particular show, probably because it fell afoul of those two big rules. We either didn't talk about it on a Bald Move, or you forgot and it came out the year before. In which case, check out last year's Baldies. The Baldies category should be linked in the show notes. You could go to all of the years. The other thing is, like, if you're wondering, you will see a bunch of podcasts called the Baldies in your podcast feed. This one should be the one that you stumble upon first, and it's the only really required listening for the Baldies. The others, the deliberations, are the other reason we're so great is that we show our work, like the gifted math students that you remember going to school. I don't know where I'm going with this. Well, yeah, we show our work. You know, there's like, why did this person
like
get
Hunting
nominated and not this other person? It's because we've got literally hours of conversation. So it's for the diehard Bald Move junkies that are like, woo, 10 more hours of stuff to put on while we're cleaning or trying to go to sleep. Or if you're like, I don't know about your badass selection this year, well, you can go and see what we had to say about it in detail. 2023 was an interesting year in Hollywood entertainment. Start off strong with Max knocking it out of the park with the Last of Us series. We had a return of Foundation, got to reacquaint ourselves with Mr. Goyer. Bad news on that for 2024 in terms of the Goyer aspect of that, if you haven't heard.
Yeah.
He's going to be exiting the show. But then we ran slam face dunk into a extended labor dispute amongst the writers and actors of Hollywood, which has been resolved amicably, but it did make it a weird year. A lot of stuff got pushed into 2024. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about what did make it through.
For me, 2023 was all about science fiction coming into focus. It has been building for a few years, but this is the year where I feel like Apple TV has really pulled together a slate of shows that tells me sci-fi is back in a big way. And I'm super excited about that because if you know anything about me, you know I'm a fan of sci-fi.
And it seems like it's just going to get better and better. You know, we're going to get new Star Trek for the foreseeable future, new Star Wars for the foreseeable future. Not super excited about that, but like, you know, we know we're looking forward to The Three Body Problem on Netflix. Apple TV's doubling down with some cyberspace entertainment. They got William Gibson's Necromancer. Yeah. I'm sorry, Neuromancer.
Neuromancer.
Necromancer, entirely different. Mm-hmm. It was a year of sci-fi. Long may the reign of sci-fi continue. Well, are we ready to get into the actual awards? Our first category, Jim, would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, absolutely. The first category is Biggest Miss. And if you haven't tuned in for previous award seasons, you might not know this, but the Biggest Miss category means what did we not watch last year that we probably should have watched? And crucially, we probably should have podcasted about, because it was either so good that we would have loved it, or it was so popular that we really missed the bandwagon there.
It's the one time in the show where we deign to admit that there is other things happening
outside
than what's
yeah.
on the Bald Move. It's in the Bald Move universe.
Absolutely.
So that's the Biggest Miss.
So the nominees for the Biggest Miss category, in no particular order, are Blue Eye Samurai, Silo Season 1, Gen V, which is the young boys spinoff, Monarch Legacy of Monsters Season 1, and Scavenger's Reign on Ooh. HBO Max.
Drum roll, please, as the envelope is coming up on its red velvet pillow. The golden envelope's sealed. Mysterious. The content's mysterious to even Jim and I. Here we go. Biggest Miss for 2023.
We still can't get these envelopes sealed, huh?
I mean, you gotta buy new ones each year if you do that. Gen V! Congratulations to Gen V. Boy, if you'd asked me what a YA spinoff on The Boys, if it would be any good, I'd be like, fuck no, which is why we didn't cover it, have any interest in covering it. And then it turns out a lot of people are saying it's better than The Boys.
Shocking.
That is wild. Runners up include Silo. That's, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, that's an asterisk. We kind of covered it on OTC. I know it's not full coverage, but I thought we did a pretty good job. Scavenger's Reign, kind of the same. We did talk about that on the OTC, as well as Blue Eye Samurai, but that was in 2024. And then Monarch Legacy of Monsters, that's another one that I thought would be ridiculous, but everyone says is good, actually.
That's one that I'm actively watching right now. I'm about four episodes in. And so far, so good. Yeah.
I hear it's got the Mariko from Shogun, who is really impressing me.
Oh, I guess
she also impressed me on Kaleidoscope. Pachinko. So yeah, that was on my list of things. I'm glad you're checking it out. You're filling in that miss. By the community's rights, with a massive 44%. Silo Season 1.
Okay.
Then Jim
Have they
v,
finally given up on Succession? I'm waiting with bated breath to hear where Succession is on this list.
Gen V at 17%, Succession at 16%. Last season, it can hurt us, by the way. It's done.
Yep.
Reacher Season 2 at 4.6%, and Scavenger's Reign at 4%. So congratulations to the winners and the wieners. Which, if you didn't win, maybe you're disappointed. That brings us to the next category. The biggest disappointment of the year are the things that just let me and Jim down. We were excited, had all the right pieces, all the right pedigree, and it just was a big, big wet fart. I don't think there's any more intro the category needs. Biggest disappointing wet fart of the year, again, in no particular order, the John Woo directed, Joel Kinnaman starring, Christmas Fiasco, Silent Night, the Lindelof attached, Betty Gilpin led, Peacock disappointment, Mrs. Davis, Raylan Givens returns to the small screen, and this time he's in Detroit. That sounds awesome, right? It's on the list. For biggest disappointment, Justified City Primeval. Maybe you should have not tried to carry on with that Terry Pratchett, Neil. Good Omens Season 2 on the biggest disappointment nominees, and also Winning Time Season 2. We'll see. I might be able to discuss that. drum roll, please, as the envelope comes up to the podium. This year's biggest disappointment. Are you ready, Jim? Are you ready to be disappointed by the year's biggest disappointment?
I wonder who out there will be disappointed, because this is a big category with a lot of big disappointments. We'll see.
Here is the biggest disappointment. It's Justified City Primeval. Boo, hiss.
Wow.
Boo, hiss. This is something me and Jim just do ourselves. We don't ask the Bald Move faithful for input, but Bayer writes the five biggest disappointments: Justified, City Primeval, Mrs. Davis, Silent Night, Winning Time, Season 2, and Good Omens. And again, I don't know if I get a chance to talk about it on the actual award show, but Winning Time in particular was a fine season of television. I loved it. The disappointing thing is that it got canceled and they just wrapped up the entire season with like a 4-minute musical text montage. So that was disappointing.
Sounds pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
now you're all sad thinking about all these
disappointments,
big TV disappointments. So let's go to some lighter fare. Let's move on to the television comedy category.
What a transition.
This will brighten our day.
Love it.
TV comedy needs no explanation, right? This is shows that are primarily comedies. And a little bit of drama can sneak in there, but you put too much drama in your show. Like The Bear, you're not getting categorized as comedy. I'm sorry. You're way too dramatic for that. So
Bald Move rules. We get to say what's comedy and what's dramatic. You can't have an episode like The Fishes and in good conscience say you're trying to make people laugh, okay?
Right.
You're hurting. Right. You're hurting people.
You can't have people too stressed to watch your show so they check out and say you're comedy. So in no particular order, our nominees are the animated Star Trek show Lower Decks Season 4. It's a very inside ball Star Trek TV comedy, which I appreciate. Res Dogs Season 3, which is a bunch of Native American teens on the reservation just trying to live their lives. Boy, it gets hard. Always Sunny in I call it Always Sunny. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I rarely get to say the full title of that show. You know it. You love it. How about the John Goodman, Danny McBride showcase, Righteous Gemstones, Season 3?
Love it.
Yeah, those preachers getting up to no good. How about Ted Lasso, Season 3? That's something you can feel good about, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause. Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's Lunch 420, which given last weekend seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah well, lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content plus ad-free feeds. And now, back with more Bald Move. And as the envelope comes up, a hush falls over the crowd, the drums roll. Best comedy for 2023. Oh boy, these are really sticky envelopes this year.
I do not remember
which
one we picked.
It's Always Sunny, season 16, with the winner, Bald Move Comedy. On the strength of two men, Glenn Howerton's finale performance and Mr. Danny DeVito and Frank V. Russia.
Right?
Oh my God. Both of those episodes nearly killed me. nipping at its heels, ResDog season 3, the finale season, just a great. I mean, that's another episode that really made me sad, made me cry, a season made me cry a lot, but also it's just very fucking funny. Righteous Gemstones could have had a finale year. They got renewed, so we'll see. They might be highest risk, highest reward next year. Ted Lasso's finale season representing there at 4, and then our love of Star Trek shines through with Lower Decks. Community. Ted Lasso with a commanding 26% of the Bald Move voting population. Hundreds of Bald Movers voting this year.
We just have a bunch of teenagers. They love the Roy tying people's penises together. That's
they
why.
Do. They do. Who doesn't? ResDog season 3 with 12.2%. Righteous Gemstones with 11% of the voting share. Barry season 4, which was clinging on to our top 10. It was number 10 on our list. With 10% of the vote, and then I Think You Should Leave, which was our honorable mention at number 6, at 7.5%.
I think if I had seen I Think You Should Leave this year, it would have ranked higher on our list.
Maybe.
Because it is a real divisive one for me.
And I think this is the season I've watched the least, but the high points are very fucking funny. Nice. The half man, half pig monster that sneaks in through his dog door in particular was a finely crafted sketch of comedy. Huh. So it's time to set our focus to the past, Jim, to the days of yesteryear. You know, we don't get to see everything. Bald Move wasn't in existence for like 90 years of Hollywood history. We missed a lot. Uh-huh. And for the first time, we are giving, there's two first here. There's one first and then another neat feature. The first is we've never given an award out to the best retro podcast. Flaunting the Bald Move rules again, because these are things that did not come out between January 1st and December 31st of last year, but they were covered on the Bald Move Network in that time frame. So, you know, do you want more? Do you want another awards category? Or should I just turn this whole thing around right now? That's what I thought. Retro podcast.
Yeah, Rusty, come on.
The other wrinkle is that this is an audience vote only. Me and Jim have no say. One of the few categories. This is a community vote. Would you like to know what the best retro podcast was for 2023, Jim?
Please, tell me.
Drum roll. I'm genuinely curious, dude. This is like good. This is stealth marketing research, because we fucking don't know. We just kind of choose things that are fun. What do you guys like? Let's find out together. Ripping this envelope open.
I actually don't even know what the choice was. You've seen the list? I haven't even seen the list, man.
I compiled the list. All right. At 14% of the vote, which this was a lot of categories are weighted and certain, but this was like a hotly contested category. With 14% of vote, Total Recall is the winner of the 2023 Best Retro Podcast.
I can't clap for that. That's not Why fair. Not? That's like putting Mark McGwire up against Ken Griffey Jr. as far as a home run challenge goes. I don't think so, man.
What does that
mean? We stacked
that
deck. We juiced that fucking guy. We juiced
the ball.
We did. We corked his bat and we juiced our balls.
As
is
our right. How do we juice the ball for people that don't know what the hell we're talking about?
I guess if you don't know, Total Recall is the movie that we screened live for an audience during our Badass Fest 5 last
Here
year.
In Queen City.
We got everybody drunk. We made them watch Total Recall, and then we did a podcast after it.
You're right. Not only was it juiced because this is a live event, but also we juiced the audience. This is really
pomegranate juice, I think.
Yeah, that was one of the Red Mars Sunrise side. I can't remember what all the names of drinks are. I imbibed a lot that night too. The other thing is, if you missed out on this year's or last year's 2023's Badass Fest 5, well, there's nothing for it. You can listen to the podcast, but you can't be there. You can't be there to see Jim streak down the aisle wearing a muscle suit and a smile. But you can do the next best thing is you can go to this year's, and I'm proud to announce the date of this year's. Tickets are not on sale. That'll be fixed in the next week or so. But the date is going to be here in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 21st. That's a Friday. Theater will open at 7 for seating. Well, actually, for showing. And then immediately after, we'll have a podcast. And it's I think we're going to stick to it. This is going to be a surprise. It's going to be a badass movie. Film. You're gonna pay for the ticket to Ohio sight unseen, but me and Jim are guaranteeing you're gonna enjoy it. Badass Fest 5. So that was the winner at 14%, and then National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation at 9%. Ghostbusters at 8.6, just under the and actually that was a two-way tie with Twister also at 8.61% of the total audience, and then finally Love Actually 6.62. Honorable mentions to Kill Bill, Volume 1, okay. Mist, Demolition Man, Good Will Hunting, and You've Got Mail. I'm getting that the Bald Move audience likes their live podcasts, likes their Christmas podcasts, and likes their podcast about nature chewing up the Midwest.
Well, there's a predominant theme in the top five here for most of these.
Busting makes
me
feel good.
I think the Bald Move audience just, well, yeah. I think the Bald Move audience just like to hear us talk drunk. Because I was drunk during Total Recall. I was drunk during Christmas Vacation, and I was drunk during Love Actually.
Yeah. Mm, and rounding out top 10 is You Got Mail. Yeah, four, five out of the top 10 involved drinking. Might have cracked the code, Jim.
Yeah.
Might have cracked the code. Save the date. June 21st, Friday, June 21st, 7 p.m. Details to come.
I'll be there. It's saved. You know where I like to occasionally have a drink?
Where's
that? In the movie theater while I'm watching movies. And that's what our next category is about.
I've heard it happen from time to time.
We have first run Bald movies. These are movies that we saw that came out in, well, I don't want to say they all have theatrical releases because that might not always be the case, but they were released and we saw them the week that they were released. And we did a podcast about them. And predominantly their theatrical releases. So, a category nominees for first run Bald Movie is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Come on. If you don't know what this is, I don't know how to help you. Oppenheimer, which is the Christopher Nolan movie about the making and the dropping of the first atomic bombs. Extraction 2. This one might have gone under the radar for a lot of people. It almost went under our radar, but this is a Netflix, I believe,
Netflix
action film
picture,
starring Chris Hemsworth.
Our friend of the show, Shea Serrano, insisted that we see Extraction because we kind of blown it off as like, what's a shitty Netflix movie? Oh boy, were we wrong.
Oh yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon. Martin Scorsese talks about the plight of the Native American people here and does it from the gangster's perspective.
Mandatory watching.
Yeah. And then finally, The Holdovers, which is Paul Giamatti being the most repulsive person on the planet and somehow still being lovable.
Yeah. Let's find out as the envelope approaches the stage and the drums roll, what is the best first run Bald Movie of 2023? Hold your breath. Empty your seats. All right. It's The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti, the Giamatti man. Congratulations, Paul.
What a great
you
movie.
Know, you've had some rough luck with the Bald Move community, but it's nice to see your hard work pay off and get home that Baldy's gold. Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Spider-Man, Across the Spider-Verse, and Extraction 2 round out our top five. By the way, definitely check out Extraction both Extraction movies if you are an action fan at all. More on that later. Our community also selected. We are at one with The Holdovers at 18.71%.
Wow.
Also, then they go a little bit off chalk with Oppenheimer at 21.29%, followed by Killers of the Flower Moon at 11%. Spider-Man at 8.3% and Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves at 4.5%. We had Dungeons & Dragons on our honorary list at 6 as well. So,
where's the Barbie
congratulations.
On this list? I honestly expected a lot more Barbie to show up.
Barbie was number 9 for us. I do not have that number for the community.
Oh,
but below 4.52%. But yeah, Holdover is also an instant Christmas classic. I'm looking forward to watching this Christmas and many Christmases to come. Highly recommended. Obviously, it got the Baldy. Next, you know, you never have another chance. Never have a second chance to make a first impression. And do we know that here at the Baldies? With our category Best Debut / Pilot. You're like, what the hell is a debut / pilot? Well, it's simple. It can be a excellent pilot in isolation or an outstanding first season of television. Mostly it's the latter. Our contestants in this year, in no particular order, The Last of Us, the video game adaptation of the Naughty Dog classic, Silo season one, the gritty dystopian, everybody in an underground silo, season science fiction show, One Piece, the wild piratical manga turned anime turned live action Netflix show, Poker Face, finding a new amazing uses of Natasha Leone and her wild hair one season at a time. Finally, and to no bigger surprise than my own, The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, and a top five.
Wow.
Got a Walking Dead in the top five of Bald Move. What the hell's going on? Who won the best debut pilot? The drums start rolling. I fumble with the envelope. Are you ready?
There are shenanigans here if you pull Daryl Dixon out of that envelope.
Fingers crossed.
Shenanigans.
The category is mutated. This envelope is now burning. The 2023 Bald Move Award for Best Debut Pilot goes to The Last of Us.
Okay.
Proving that Bald Move is still not sick of zombies, as evidenced by the Walking Dead numbers that we're still getting. No one's watching. Mm-hmm. Everyone's listening. It's pretty awesome.
14 years of zombie coverage.
This is richly deserved. This was like, you know, as soon as I saw the cast, as soon as I saw Craig Mazin attached to this, I figured this was a slam dunk. But it's still always nice to see the potential to be there and then to see them actually follow through and knock it out of the park. This is a near flawless adaptation.
Yeah.
And I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. I enjoyed thoroughly covering it. I enjoyed playing the game through. We're actually going to be posting highlights from that gameplay closer to the 1 year anniversary of it on our YouTube page. So that was that. Number two, Silo. Silo had an amazing pilot. A shaky first season by my rights, but still pretty good. Especially pretty good as a dystopian neo-noir science fiction thriller. Then One Piece, just on me thinking that it would suck so bad. And actually, this is a very hard show to adapt. And the fact that Netflix did it even kind of sort of well, they didn't do that. They won me over. I was wanting to watch just enough of this so I could tell people to piss off when they suggested it. And I got hooked. Ended up watching like 78 episodes of the anime.
Wow.
Poker Face at 4, Daryl Dixon at 5. Are you curious about the community?
Yeah, absolutely.
Number one with 82.39% of the Bald Move community vote is The Last of Us. The most decisive victory we've ever seen in a Baldies category. And then you got Small Ball after that. Silo at 6.9%, Poker Face at 5 even, The Walking Dead at 1.26%, and One Piece 0.63%.
That was super close. That top five is identical.
Yeah. No, yeah.
It's just swapped 3 and 5. Wow.
And 80 plus percent of people agreeing at The Last of Us. It's also the big, and maybe this has something to it. It's also by far the biggest show we had last season in terms of audience. So
yeah,
thank you for your support.
Well, I can tell you a show like The Last of Us would be nothing without its bit players. And that comes in the form of Best Supporting Actor, which is our next category. Boy, there are a lot of really great supporting actors, so much so that I almost wish they were leads so they could contend for what is arguably a more prestigious category in the best lead actor category. But no, alas, it's an ensemble cast, so they get considered.
Also, if you're
here.
Curious, we started doing this year. We abolished the gender differences in our acting categories, and to make up for the lack of best male and female actor, we went for best supporting actor and best lead actor. And that's something we're monitoring in terms of how we feel about it, how it affects the gender dynamics and whatnot. There's no perfect solution in life, but I just want to get that out there. Last year is the first year for doing this. This year is a repeat. So, yeah, that's how that happened.
It's tricky. It's a tricky business, but we're trying to navigate it the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So bear with us.
One thing we set out to do with Bald Move is to permanently solve all gender dynamics and discrepancies and disparities, and to bring sexual justice to all. So we're like on 13 of a 50-year project. We're getting there.
Oh, I was going to say we're like 2 years away, but okay. All right. Yeah, if you think
that's what we estimated it when the big wigs called. Oh, you want us to solve this problem? It's tricky. We're going to Scotty the shit out of this. 2027, all humans will be free.
We promise.
And we'll accomplish that by radically redefining the meaning of free to be something that we can deliver.
Yep.
So there we go.
Well, you know who delivered a hell of a performance this year in Foundation Season 2? It's Ben Daniels as Bel Rios.
General Bel Rios of the Empire.
This guy came out of nowhere for me. I hadn't seen him in anything before, and at least I don't think so, and blew me off my seat.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Jim's wind
firmly planted.
Yeah.
And wind resistant. Another contender here is Coral Pena, who plays Aleda in For All Mankind Season 4 this year.
Amazing work.
She does incredible work. Another guy doing incredible work, Eben Moss Bacharach from The Bear Season 2, plays Richie, the cousin of the lead. We've got an incredible performance from Nick Offerman as Bill in The Last of Us. That's from Episode 3. He's just kind of a one-and-done there. An honorable mention to his partner here who plays Murray Bartlett as Frank, kind of co-leads of that single episode, but overall supporting actors.
He's the supporting actor of the supporting actor.
Right. And then finally, you know, it's such an ensemble comedy. Everybody gets their moment to shine, but Danny DeVito as Frank really shone this year in Always Sunny.
Mm.
And we decided to make him part of our nominee list.
Frank V. Russia, sublime. While I'm waiting for the buzzing to subside from the drum roll, fumbling with the package here, we got the golden envelope. Here we go. Find out best supporting actor, 2023.
I think I remember.
Nick Offerman as Bill from The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Nick Offerman.
Truly unforgettable performance.
Big gay performance in the big gay episode of The Last of Us. Just a solid romance, Shakespearean in its highs and the lows, the depths of feeling that they were able to generate, and also something that told us a little bit about the world as well. That wasn't just an Emmy submission episode, a Baldy submission episode, I should say, but is well integrated into the overall story. So
extremely affecting episode in a show that's purportedly about fungus zombies threatening the world.
True. Second place, Eben Moss Bacharach, because he's Richie in The Bear, and The Bear is amazing. More on that later. Ben Daniels came in third, Danny DeVito fourth, and then Coral Pena as Aleda on number 5. Community offerings here. They agreed with us. Nick Offerman with an overwhelming 35.9% of the Bald Move vote. Followed by Eben Moss Bacharach from The Bear, 27.56. Can't go wrong with those. Okay. And they're lining up with us identically. Then we get the big man, the wide man, Ray Stevenson, Baylan Skoll from the Bright Spot on Ahsoka, 5% of the vote. Sam Spruill with Ule Munk from Fargo Season 5, 4.49%. Finally, Walton Goggins as Uncle Baby Billy.
Oh, God, yeah.
There'll be a payday. And he just got it. He just got it. You got number 5 payday from the Baldies here, from Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah, he's somewhere on our list, for sure.
4.49%. Best supporting actor in the books. As big a surprise as it was that Nick Offerman, comedian, got a prestigious drama juicy award for playing a gay man, as surprising as that is, we got an even bigger surprise. It's 2023's biggest surprise. What's the help me with the definition of this, Jim? What is the biggest surprise by Bald Move standards?
It's something that we either is it just is not on our radar. It comes out and it blows us away. Mm-hmm. Or it could be something that we sort of have a negative relationship with.
Yeah.
And then it comes out and, oh, this aspect of it is actually very, very good.
Yes. Thank you for that definition. In no particular order, the nominees for this year, 2023's biggest surprise, Indiana Jones and The Dial of Destiny. Shocking that it didn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek, Picard Season 3, again, shocking. Absolutely shocking that it didn't suck.
Yeah, perhaps more so than Indiana Jones.
Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. I thought that like every Dungeons and Dragons movie I've ever seen or cartoon has sucked. And this was not only a good standalone adventure romp, but it really captures the feel of being around the table, having fun with your friends, getting into misadventures. Like you can hear the natural 20s and the natural ones rolling in the background. And then we have Silo. Which kind of like exploded out of nowhere on the Apple TV screen. And finally, The Holdovers.
Mm.
It's already won one, Baldy. Is it going to pick up another? Biggest surprise. I can't wait. I'm as going to be as surprised as you. Here we go. The golden envelope's being torn open for biggest surprise.
Oh, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the sweep. The Holdover sweep, will it happen?
Dungeons and Dragons is number one. Did we actually vote? Did we actually do this?
Yeah. Chris Pine may or may not have paid me.
Yeah. Then followed by Silo, Star Trek Picard Season 3, Indiana Jones and Dial Destiny, and The Holdovers. I think The Holdovers was not as big a surprise because it is Paul Giamatti.
And it's Alexander Payne, who he did Sideways with, and that's one of my favorite movies. It's hard to surprise me with that duo, but...
Yeah, now, I didn't know it was coming out like a month before it hit theaters, but once I saw, I was pretty excited. But Dungeons and Dragons, I just thought, it's hard to make a video game movie. It's really hard to make a tabletop board game type movie. And they crushed it. I could see a lot more of those with that crew. And then Silo. Silo's a great piece of science fiction. I think I had some problems with it. It's based on a really well-regarded trilogy of novels, so I am excited to see it continue. And what was the big surprise of Star Trek Picard? Just like Picard had been such a wretched show and they added the old cast and it turns out they still got it and they can carry weak material just like they used to. So
yeah, seems like it.
And the material is pretty good. I think that, I don't know, maybe they just finally learned how to write Star Trek in 2023.
Yeah, I haven't seen Disco's latest stuff, but perhaps that's true.
I forgot Disco is still a thing. Yeah. Surprised to learn that, actually, Jim.
Maybe it's not. I don't know. That's how out of Disco I am. Well, you know what? Sometimes segues are good, and sometimes segues are non-existent. The next category is the best lead actor. Let's get right into it. We've got a guy whose name I wasn't familiar with 2 years ago. Jeremy Allen White from The Bear Season 2. He plays Carmi, the lead on that.
2 years ago, what do you think about Jeremy Allen White and underwear? I'd be like, the fuck are you talking about? Now I have very strong opinions.
I would have been like, amazing. Urkel did underwear scenes? I don't remember that, but yeah.
Right.
Next up, Pedro Pascal from The Last of Us. He's Joel. Ayo Adebri, also from The Bear Season 2. She's another star that I had not had my eye on until this show. A lot of stars coming out of that show. A lot of stars coming out of The Last of Us, apparently, too, because Bella Ramsey is next up. They're another person I had it was not on my radar at all, except for like Game of Thrones, which I didn't really care much for those scenes because I thought they were silly.
Yeah, but Little Lady did a great Mormons. Job. Never thought that they would be able to anchor something like The Last of Us.
And they've blown me away. Looking forward to what they do next. And then finally, Laura Byrne as Demerzel from Foundation Season 2. She was amazing in the previous season and blew me away. It went to a whole nother level this season. So Excited to see what she does as well.
Yeah, I'm excited too, and I'm excited to find out who is the best lead actor. Most prestigious categories. I can hear the drums. Here we go. Increasingly sloppy ripping of the envelopes here. All right. Winner of Best Actor 2023, Mr. Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah.
From The Bear Season 2. Now, if you're playing from home, you'll notice that that is now in the in the year we abolished gender from our categories. That is four masculine figures that have won all the slots. But,
oh, no.
But I will say...
Is our ratio getting any better?
I will say that 8 out of the 10, top 10, are women. They are just not... Jeremy Allen White is number one. Laura Byrne, who, again... I don't know what a crazy psychotic robot looks like, but I'm pretty sure it looks exactly like this 10,000 years in the future. Just unbelievable work. Io Debris from The Bear, who is, again, you know, doing amazing work. Everything on The Bear is just so good. I can't fucking believe it. And then finally, Bella Ramsey and Pedro Pascal sharing top honors at the bottom. And then again, check out this stacked list of ladies. Juno Temple from Fargo Season 5, Rin Schmidt, Margot from All Mankind, Chris Marshall also from For All Mankind, Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso, and Devery Jacobs as Allura on Res Dogs, but can't quite get the top spot yet. I think we're going to be more shakes up of this category next year. The one thing we also, other than the gender dynamics, we've definitely seen a comedy drama discrepancy, so we might be addressing that and other things too.
The Baldies, all problems will be fixed in 2027, don't worry.
Right. The Baldies continues to grow and evolve as humanity does itself. Community Awards. Jeremy Allen White, we are in one accord at 24.6% of the vote, followed by Pedro Pascal, 21.52%, over Bella Ramsey. Sexist.
At least we're in good company with our audience.
True, 11.4%. Laura Byrne with 7.5% of the vote. Again, her fantastic Demerzel, followed by Juno Temple. Did a little bit of double dipping, double work, and is rewarded as Dot and also Kaylee from... Was it Kaylee? Yeah, she's Kaylee on Ted Lasso. And that's how you do the Best Actor 2023. Congratulations, Jeremy Allen White, who is the white Steve Urkel. You know, that moment felt real special, Jim. You know, every year we get to recognize the best in acting achievements. And this year, for the first time, we're recognizing the best in Bald Move special projects. You're like, what the hell is a Bald Move special project? It's the ones that ride the short bus. These are the short form pieces that Jim and I, every 2 years, it seems, get a wild hair to do. We go away for a couple months. We don't tell anybody about it. And then we just unleash it to an unsuspecting, mostly uncomprehending Bald Move audience. The three in contention are A Very Belter Christmas, in no particular order. This is where Jim and I imagined what Christmas would look like in the 23rd century, as seen on The Expanse. Then Giamatti Man, kind of like the birth of our fixation with him, The One Man Manger, starring Paul Giamatti, another Christmas project. And then, you know what? These are all suspiciously Christmas projects. A Star Wars holiday special just came out this year. It's one of three. I'm excited. We didn't get a say on this either. This was something totally for the Bald Move community's weighing in on. I'm curious to see.
There was a voicemail on the Bald Move hotline that I didn't tell you about, but Al and Joe called us and they were irate that they were not considered for this category. I told them to pound sand.
Yeah. I guess that's a special project.
Forget those
guys. Maybe they had a point and they even had a project this year, but you know what? Al and Joe, you fucked us on The Walking Dead. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Best Bald Move special project. Here we go. Are we ready?
I'm
ripping
ready.
This envelope asunder. Oh my god, in half. Lies bleeding below me. The best Bald Move Award for Best Special Project is A Star Wars Holiday Special 2 with 40.6% of the vote. Congratulations.
A little recency
here
bias
to accept
there.
Here to accept the award in our honor is our producer, Talitha. Talitha, I appreciate you dressing up for the event. And as the sole person who showed up for the award to accept it in person, what do you got to say?
I'd like to thank my...
That's all the time we have to hear from our winners. You know, we got to get the commercials in. That's what the important thing. A Very Belter Christmas just missed it with 39.8%, less than a percentage point separating the two projects in people's hearts. And then a distant third, The One Man Manger.
Wow. Really?
I got to say, I think the best one, you're asking me, the best one. A belter Christmas. Yeah. Like I actually am proud of that project from multiple dimensions.
Well, we hired professionals for it. That's probably why it's the best.
But it is like, man, it's a real tough one between Star Wars The Holiday Special and One Man Manger. Because got the Rancor fight versus the twin double rails.
Oh my god.
Paul's trademark move. If you don't know what we're talking about, I guess Google any one of these things and get on board. That's it for the best. Thanks for gratifying our curiosity with the best Bald Move special project.
You know, you can't force us to do special projects. We just kind of do them whenever feel like it. However, there is a way that you can force us to do something, and it's with Bald Move commissions. That's our next category, the best Bald Move commission of 2023. We have to always review the criteria by which we judge these beforehand and what this category is all about. It's not about the quality of the movie necessarily, although that is weighted in there for our criteria, but it's really about the podcast that came from the commission. And so keep that in mind when you're thinking about these commissions. There is a series of criteria by which we judge these that has changed up a little bit in the last couple of years, where now instead of saying, hey, you can get 5 points for a surprise, like a really just great movie that blew us away and we didn't know anything about it before, we've reduced that because we found that it was weighting too heavily into our categories here, our criteria. So it's a point system where you can get anywhere between... I guess it's 1 to 5 for a couple of categories, and a surprise kind of gives you an edge where you get one or 2 points for that.
Depending on how surprising it is. And we also completely eliminated the media quality, which was the other, you know.
That was throwing things off because obviously, you know, a better movie is just automatically getting it a 5.
Yeah, pick an Oscar-winning film, surprise, surprise, you get a 5 for the media quality. So we're left with surprise, capped at 2 points. Interest, which is how interesting we thought the podcast was, both to record and listen to, and then fun, which is our subjective experience of listening or recording and listening to the podcast.
Yeah. So we have, of course, 5 nominees here, and in no particular order, those nominees are The Karate Kid Part 3, and I won't tell you what score it got because. The way we do this is we tally up the score and the cream rises to the top, but then we nudge things a little bit. So there's always a little bit of shading that happens.
It's just subjectivity. If you got problems with it, listen to the podcast.
Next nominee is Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. Then we have In Bruges, which is one that I hadn't seen that really impressed me. That's a Colin Farrell. Oh, I don't remember the other guy's name, but he's good. What is his name?
Ryan Dennehy. No, it's Domhnall Gleeson. It's not Domhnall Gleeson. No, it's the other Gleeson, his uncle, Jackie Gleeson.
Oh, Jackie Gleeson. Yeah, not Joffrey.
Brendan Gleeson. Is it Brendan or Brandon?
Brendan.
Okay. Gotcha. Oh, it's his dad. I thought it was his uncle. Damn.
Oh, wow. Then next up we have Ikiru, which, you know, is a classic. I thought it was a samurai film. Turns out it's not. He does more than samurai films.
Just a Kurosawa film. He actually made films and dudes in suits going to cities. Who knew? Not me.
Who knew? And finally, rounding out the list of nominees, we have Afterlife, which is another Japanese film, but a far lesser known Japanese film. really impressed us.
A lot of Eastern influences in the top five here. Karate Kid, Ikiru, Afterlife, mm-hmm. authentic Japanese culture. The commissions. Find out who won. Here we go. Good luck to all the commissioners. The 2023 Bald Move Award for Best Commission Podcast is in Bruges, sponsored by Michael K. Congratulations, Michael. And thank you for commissioning a hell of a podcast. Rounding
out
the list.
Getting me to watch this movie, because I'd never seen it, and it was a great movie.
Yeah, we got another one. I think it's Michael K, too, is going to have us watch Banshees of Inisherin this year. So I'm going to get to see the spiritual successor. Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade by Bill D/Arcade Shenanigans, Afterlife by Andy B, Ikiru by Michael K. Again, wow, what a prestigious production company Michael's got. The Karate Kid Part 3, Norman Becky. The Community, boy, they got a lot of different ideas about commissions here. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban with Keenan and Maggie commissioning 27% of the vote.
Wow.
Love to watch Jim squirm watching stuff he doesn't care about. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade by Bill D/Arcade Shenanigans at 21%. Nightmare Before Christmas by Doug/Past Tense of Doug. It was nice enough to commission that in January and tell us to sit on it till October for spooky season. What a guy. 14.79%. In Bruges by Michael K, 12.6%. And then Dead Poets Society, which was a group commission. Like, 8 Bald Movers got together to make that happen. Always love commissions. One of the high points of the job, right up there with Lunch with Jim and Aaron. Thank you for commissioning, and congratulations to Michael for Best Commission Podcast 2023. You know, amongst the commissioners before each year, there's a lot of drama and who's going to make the Best Commission Podcast. You know, a lot of money at stake. And there's a lot of drama on television, and we like to celebrate that with TV's Best Drama of 2023. Pretty self-explanatory. Self-explanatory category. It's dramatic, it's on TV, and we judge it not a comedy. The nominees for this year, again, in no particular order: Foundation Season Dos, Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 2, Last of Us Season 1, premiere season, Loki Season 2, which turned out to be its finale season, as well as The Bear entering its second season. We're going to get to see that third season of that in June. Are you ready to find out, Jim? Can you hear the drums? Are the drums calling
here?
All right,
yeah,
here we go.
I would love to know.
This is amongst the most prestigious category in all of Baldi's history. TV's Best Drama. Here we go, 2023. It's a really hard one to rip that one. All right, here we go. And the number one Best TV Drama 2023, Season 2 of The Bear.
Who would have seen that coming?
Starring Carmi Erkel. It's kind of crazy that beat out The Last of Us, which was such a popular show, such a huge show. I mean, The Bear... the effort to reward of The Bear is not really there, because it's one of those shows that drops everything all at once. Me and Jim do the Stranger Things thing where we hustle up and watch it in podcasts as quickly as possible. It's not a huge show. It doesn't get a ton of podcast traffic, but god damn, does that show deliver the goods.
Oh yeah.
We also had The Community says fuck The Bear, 36.7%. The Last of Us is the number one show by the Bald Move community.
Honestly,
but I think it's impressive.
The only other option.
I think it's impressive that The Bear is season two at a 34%, right behind The Last of Us.
Wow.
We talk about how small the audience is, both in terms of outright numbers versus in terms of Bald Move numbers. That's impressive that The Last of Us was able to hold them off. Foundation Season 2 with 5%. I mean, it's pretty small ball from here. Yellow Jacket Season 2 with 4%, and Loki Season 2, 3.8%. Congratulations to The Bear, really cleaning up on the Baldies this year.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause. And now, back with more Bald Move.
That category might have to go into this category for next year. I don't know. This category is the best Bald Move moment. And we didn't actually fill out this list. The way this works is we put up an open call for moments in Bald Move history, or sorry, Bald Move year, that you guys really appreciated for one reason or another. It can be anything you can think of. And then we take that and we say, how similar are these descriptions of moments? And we compile those into a giant list.
This is an interesting category from the compiler's perspective, because this is by far the most amount of effort to take hundreds of people just typing whatever the hell they want and then trying to hammer that into something that I can use. You know, like,
I bet.
But as annoying as it is, it's super heartwarming to go through and read everybody's, you know, like memories of what they loved about this year, unprompted. So it's the best categories is the worst of categories.
And then you all get to look at the way that Aaron has compiled these and shorthanded all these and say, that's not what I meant at all.
That's true.
That's not why I like
did
that.
Some liberal translating. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's get into it. First up in our list of nominees here, in no particular order, the Bah Humbug Christmas. This encompasses, I guess, four movies and four drunken movies, all that stuff.
The lunches, the streams,
the live
maybe
streams.
Even Silent Night.
But... yeah, maybe. Next up in the list is lunch. Just lunch.
Just lunch.
That's a big, wow, that's a big category. That's a big summation of what I assume was like this moment on lunch, that moment on lunch.
Yes.
The
yes.
title of this one.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, and I might have some shout outs in the actual envelope. Who knows? I haven't seen it.
Okay. Next up, Badass Fest 5 Live. That's the live event that we did in July or late June, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That celebrated badasses everywhere.
Happening late June again this year, Friday, June 21st. Here
Absolutely.
In Cincinnati, Ohio. If you want to start making your travel preparations, tickets will be on sale soon.
Next up is the Groundhog Day Marathon, where this year we watched 24 hours of Fast and Furious movies.
True.
Raised a record number of dollars for the Cure Owls organization.
Which we just smashed, folded up like a cheap suit and stuffed into a trash can with this year's numbers, but...
Yeah,
year.
But we did a hell of a job last time. I'm sure it'll be on the list this year. But yeah, I mean, at this point, Alzheimer's is done. It's all but gone. With the writing's on the wall, just give it up, Alzheimer's.
Yeah, yeah. Gender equality solved, 2028. Alzheimer's, 2029.
I don't know. I have no words for this next category, this next grouping of things.
I think
this
you got
just
three
says,
words for it.
All of it.
That's shocking a amount thing. Of people just, I don't, yeah, right? But it's like, it's a very popular response. All literally, all like, I had, this was an exact quote.
Must
of,
be.
Yeah, I didn't have to simplify. It's just like that, this, or sentiments to the, it's, yeah. I don't know. We like, the worst Bald Move moment is the realization that the Bald Move community doesn't understand what a moment is.
That's the thing. Yeah, the full breadth and depth of time and space does not count as a moment. I'm sorry.
All the this is the kissing cousin of all lunches, too, you know? It's a subset yeah. of all of it. All of it.
But
Baldmove.com.
Hey,
all of it.
We're here to serve. So you wanted it on
we
the
list. We should make a
t-shirt.
Baldmove.com. All of it. That's all the t-shirt.
We also have Foundation Season 2 coverage. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Closer.
And finally, Get Off My Lawn, Star Wars rants. Boy,
now, here's
that happened this year.
Here's a fucking moment. Good job.
Yeah.
You guys identified a space, a brief, self-contained space and time. There's a lot of great nominees. Let's find out, because I know for a fact Jim doesn't know who won this category.
I have not seen the results of this poll.
2023's best Bald Move moment by as the community has decided. Here we go.
That's
golden envelope torn
Can't
in
wait.
Twain with 29.8% and 3-year running Baldy champion Groundhog Day.
Wow.
Parenthetically, of those responses, 30% mentioned goo. 9% mention hair babies, which is really the only things that could qualify, but, you know.
Goo can't qualify. That was this year, not last year.
I know.
Goo should have been disqualified. Does that change the results?
There's some, if it did, well, I mean, you take 33%, you take 30% of the goo off at least. But that's
people fundamentally misunderstand this category is what I'm learning.
Yeah.
All of it and goo.
And Groundhog Day being arguably the most successful thing we do each year and happening a mere few weeks before this event almost gives it a lock at the community's best moment. But then Badass Fest 5 Live, 19.4% of respondents saying that's the best ball move moment. 40% of those respondents cited Jim running up the middle aisle in his muscle suit as the
so much fun.
Best subset ball movement there.
And can we talk, you talked about what small like subset of the people who listen to ball move and watch TV is voting for the bear. Mm-hmm. This is the smallest subset. This is like 60 to 80 people.
Yeah, I think we had 70
participated in this event and would even
was it
be able to put that on the list.
Total was there, including you and me and our families and whatnot. Yeah.
So it was deeply affecting for the watching me strut my buns was deeply affecting for the people who saw it.
It was deeply affecting for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was headed right for you. That's terrifying.
And then we added Christmas, which people shouted out in particular. Love Actually, You've Got Mail, the live streams. 10.3% of the audience said that. 7.8% either said tied for at 7.8% exactly. All of it or lunch.
the people who fundamentally misunderstood.
Yeah. So that's 16%. That's another 16% of the vote, just essentially omni-bald move. 5.2% people love their season 2 foundation. Many people citing our interviews with Goyer, which I agree.
Nice.
And then rounding out the top 5 with ties is the get off my lawn moment. 4% of the audience liked hearing that.
Boy, those.
There you go.
Goyer interviews those are great moments. Weird this year, huh? We'll see
if we have him. If we have him, he might just be fuck this. Talk to me about Sandman. Or I know he's got another. He had another passion project he was kind of working on too. Which, yeah. So yeah, he's a good guy though. Hope he lands on his feet, that David Goyer.
Well, I mean, we've done TV drama. We just did the best bald move moment. What could possibly top either of those categories? What would we save the best for last with? You know what it is? It's the biggest badass of 2023.
Ooh, fan favorite returning category. It's new for last year. It's coming back in a big way. Bigger muscles, more coconut oil, twice the ammunition, 3 times body count.
I do feel what like the badass thing is becoming a thing at Bald Move, and whether or not we're forcing it is debatable, but I'm happy to see it happening either way. We need to do a little shout out here, maybe an in memoriam sort of thing, because one of the biggest badasses of all time recently passed away. And I know, look, we can't mention every single badass because they're probably not on our radar. If you died in January, it's rough. It's rough. We might forget about you.
Should have been a bigger badass.
This was a big badass. And we also had a couple of pretty big, pretty important badasses this year die. First up, Carl Weathers. I mean, Apollo Creed alone probably gets him to the status of big badass, but then look at his work in Predator. Okay, maybe not Happy Gilmore.
That man...
He did take a crocodile's eye.
Yes, wrestled a crocodile, got his ball back, and ripped his eye out of socket. Yeah, he lost his hand, but Jesus Christ, he kept his life and his honor. What a legend. And it also was impactful because this happened on Groundhog Day, of all things. Like, it kind of... I'd say cast a pall, but, like, it's impossible to dampen the community spirits on Groundhog Day. But still... Yeah, that was...
And he was a going concern, you know? I mean, his Greef Karga character was very popular among Star Wars fans.
I liked him, and he's worked with some of the best. Like, The Predator is arguably the best action film of all time. Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. hello, representing Mount Crushmore with his big Teutonic mug and Carl Weathers is there mixing up with them.
I mean, there's a close up of their muscles, and he didn't shame himself.
An iconic meme.
He didn't Adrian Brody himself.
They're so comparable that it's an iconic meme of like togetherness forming when mm-hmm. they do their what a badass, what a legend. Yeah.
Always live on in our hearts. Thank you, Carl Weathers, for everything you did. And then there's also another badass who I've just come to know, who
yes,
I think,
same.
Boy, this is the one that stings pretty bad because it felt like it was his life was cut short. It's Ray Stevenson, who you might know him as Baylan Skull from Ahsoka.
Only one of the best new Star Wars characters. One that I gotta say, we were talking about this the other day. Is this the best new Star Wars villain since Darth Maul?
I mean, for me, yeah. But I haven't seen all of Star Wars. I know a lot of people like Clone Wars stuff and Rebels and whatnot. But yeah.
Yeah. I forget the cartoons exist. But yes. So yeah, it's rest in peace to a legend, and then RIP to a badass taken before his time.
Yeah. But we're here to celebrate badass in all of its forms. And we've got five people here who are forming up a pretty good badass Voltron. Let's start with Chris Hemsworth, who played Tyler Rake in Extraction 2, which is the Netflix movie that we ranked very highly on our badass movies of the year.
Would you say that's an underrated badass movie, or is that just because we didn't hear about it until... we saw it? Because like I feel like this flies under a lot of people's radar just casually talking about it with people.
Yeah. The fact that we didn't hear a lot of people talking about it until you went to one of the foremost authorities on badass and he said yes, this is a great movie. Yeah. I think that says how under the radar it is.
Yeah.
We also, you know, aptly have Ray Stevenson on this list as Baylan Skull and Ahsoka. We also have Alan Ritchson. Plays Jack Reacher in season 2 of Jack Reacher. This guy's a monster. He almost needs to be on there simply for his stature, even if he wasn't doing badass things. But
yeah, this show is like, if you like the parts in Commando where Arnold is like unironically picking up a whole ass tree, he's throwing a man around, and he's throwing a man around as he's surrounded by a phone booth. If you want to see him flip over car, like this is that kind of spectacle. Just like a huge, impossible colossus doing crazy things, you know, with his feet, hands, fists, and guns.
Yeah. And a guy who maybe is not getting as much assist from the material, but he still had some really amazing fights. It's a badass who's not afraid to show off his great ass, Lee Pace, as Day in Foundation Season 2. And finally, Michelle Rodriguez from Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, and Fast X. She was badass in both. You get some bonus points for that.
What a hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Too badass for double the awards value. Are we ready to find out our final category, the biggest badass?
I sure am.
Here we go. Who reigns biggest badass 2023? And the winner is Chris, the mighty Thor Hemsworth, the Tyler Rake in Extraction 2. I can't say enough about this. I hope they're making a third. It looks like they are intending to based on the plot of the second one. I hope they get a chance to do it. I hope Netflix doesn't pussy out because, my God, this is the perfect 80s badass movie made with modern techniques, special effects, with modern steroids, HGH, and Australian bodybuilding technology. It's just insane. Yeah. The stuff that Hemsworth gets up to is ridiculously cool and just makes you grin so hard your cheeks are going to fall off. And then second place, Alan Ritchson. We talked about him on Jack Reacher. Ray Stevenson, the rest in peace to the legend. Michelle Rodriguez, who, is doing a lot for ladies on here, because we've always talked about how because of the nature of the 3C system, it kind of makes it very hard for them to be the champion. But Michelle Rodriguez is showing how to get it done. She looks great, huge shoulders, huge triceps. Folding dudes up as a barbarian, folding ladies up as Letty on, and in fact, another honorable mention was Charlize Theron, who's her scene partner in that Fast X. Like, that's just a great fight scene. Mm-hmm. And Dungeons & Dragons is loaded with Michelle Rodriguez just wrecking shop. It's a great, great role. And then Lee Pace with the honorary good ass of the year, playing Emperor Day on Foundation Season 2. Would you like to know what the community thinks?
Absolutely.
12.26% says Pedro Pascal as Joel. Biggest Last of Us badass of the year.
Didn't make our list.
Didn't make our list. He came in at number 10. Below Bella Ramsey, actually.
It's a great year for badass, I gotta say.
It was a great, rough year for Hollywood, great year for badasses. Ray Stevenson, number 2 on their list with his Balin Skull, nice. Dark Jedi take, 12%. Alan Ritchson, 9.68% with Jack Reacher. Keanu Reeves getting dapped for the last John Wick, final John Wick performance, John Wick 4, 9%. Finally, little Bella Ramsey. They are holding off the top 5 spot on The Last of Us with 7% of the vote. Congratulations, Bella.
Nice.
Can't wait to see more badassery in Season 2. And that is going to do it for the Baldies 2023. Appreciate everybody coming out and appreciate everybody casting their votes. Can't wait to see. I think 2024 is going to be a monster year for television, a monster year for Bald Move. We got Hot D. We got the June might kill us with House of the Dragon, The Bear, and The Boys all coming back at
and
the same fucking time.
The badass event.
And we're doing, that's when we're, yes, kicking off the badass event. Might have bit off more ass than we can kick, Jim. I don't know. We'll see. But I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see how it all goes out. I can't wait to see what the Baldies 2024 turns out to look like. Again, if you have if any question about how we arrived at these results, if you want to hear more about how we determine the categories, how we structure the show, and how we defend the decisions we make, boy, there is dozens of hours, probably a dozen at least hours
at least.
Of deliberations to check it out. So hey, if you want to take some meth and clean your apartment, you got a cross-country trip, you need 10 to 12 hours of stone cold sleep time, that's what the Baldies deliberations are for. They're here in the prestige podcast category. That's going to do it. Thank you for everyone who listened. Thank you for everyone attended. Make sure you tip your waiter or waitress on your way out, and we'll see you next year for another Baldies. Until then, give yourself a round of a hand for the community. Jim, you can give ourselves a round of applause too.
Yeah.
Talitha, thanks for producing. Did I mention on the lunch category that like the 3 specific people said when Talitha came on lunch and that got rolled up in the lunch? So, and all the losers this year, better luck next year, losers. See you in 2024. Bye. Good night, everybody.